Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Brownstone Radio Network. Real people with real answers.
It's me. It's your girl, Tracy Brown. And you have joined me on the Tracy Brown Show. And I am so excited, and triple excited to be here tonight. Words. We're releasing something. We're speaking it into atmosphere. And tonight, we're simply talking about the words we speak. And I had the opportunity.
You're listening to the Brownstone Radio Network. Real people with real answers.
Welcome to the Brownstone, and I am your host, Tracy Brown, with this Real People with Real Answers. And what a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And I am so grateful to be in the land of the living for this opportunity that I didn't get yesterday that I have today. See, it's all about being in relationships with one another. See, the Bible commands that we love one another. So in order to love one another, we simply have to be in relationships with one another. And I really just believe that everything that we do, we're interconnected to something or someone else. And our actions have consequences, and the words we speak, they speak either life or they speak death. And our character, who we are, says a lot about ourselves. So who are you today? So today, I am so excited because we have the beautiful, talented, and gifted Tanya Barnett in the Brownstone with us. She is the founder of Forever Free Books. But many of us married folks and even some of us single folks know her because she has the number one selling book on Amazon, and it's simply titled Being a Wife Just Got Real. And she's also a real wife coach. So many of us married women, we know that we need her. We need her desperately because some of us didn't realize what we were saying when we said, I do. We just thought about it since we were a young girl that we just wanted to have that opportunity to walk down that aisle to our Prince Charming in our beautiful dress in a room full of guests, and we didn't really realize what we said when we said, I do. Yes, we went to the counseling. Some of us did and some of us didn't. But when we said, I do, it just got real. So, Tanya Barnett, how do you like the Brownstone?
I love it. I love your messaging. I love the positivity. So I am here, and I'm ready to help out those who, you know, need a little bit of encouragement, whatever they need. I'm here to help out with that.
All right. So if many of you know me, you know that I just love to just, you know, I always say they call me the Facebook stalker, but I always just like to know a little bit about our guests. So I see that maybe over the weekend you attended some award ceremony. Did you get something? You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. Actually, my book was nominated for the Independent Author Legacy Awards that is sponsored by Black Enterprise Magazine. And so I was nominated. I didn't know who nominated me. And my category was relationship. And so my husband and I went, you know, thinking I'm going to go and support my fellow authors, and when they called my name that I won for the relationship category as an indie author, I was shocked. I couldn't even talk. I cried the whole acceptance speech. I don't even know what I said. But I won, and the criteria actually for winning was your book has to be impactful. And you had to have started something out of the book. So it wasn't just, you know, you wrote a book and someone submitted it. Your book had to have direct results where it's changing people's lives. And so I didn't even know that was the criteria. And so to be honored for sharing my story, my marriage story in a book, and then also the World Wife Movement being honored and recognized, that was huge for me.
Wow. Did you hear that, Audie? She has the Real Wife Movement. I know you already have tons of followers. I know that you got 500 plus followers because we really need to know about that. But before we go on, I really want to know because I'm a book reader and I love books. And you have an organization called Forever Free Books. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Forever Free Books is a mobile literacy nonprofit, which means we go where the kids are. That's our tagline. So we're not a mortar. We're not brick and mortar. We are not a 9-to-5. We actually partner or find opportunities to show up where kids are congregated, and we give them free books. So the kids actually get an opportunity to shop for free books. So whether it's at a church and they're having, like, friends and family day, the church will reach out to us. We'll show up and do a table where kids can shop for books back-to-school night or when kids are getting backpacks. We do barbershops. We have Books, Boys, and Cuts where we go into barbershops. And we take African-American men, and I'm very intentional about that, African-American men reading to African-American boys, because studies have shown that the average African-American boy has never seen a man read, ever. They see women read, they see mom read, they see their female teachers read, but the majority of them never encounter a male teacher or a male reading until they get to high school. And so that's one of the things that we do. We partner with a local NFL team, different foundations, and really it's just to put books in the hands of kids where I really want to start helping build home libraries. In my home, my children each have a bookcase in their room and my basement. I have like 6 bookcases. I have a bookcase in my bedroom. So, you know, reading to us in our household is very important, and I want other children to have that experience as well.
Wow, that is a great movement. But before we move on from that, can you tell us if we have books to donate or if anything, how do we get in contact with you?
My website is foreverfreebooks.com. So if someone just wants to do a cash donation, we purchase brand new books. None of our children get what I would say used books. The only time we take used books is if they're gently, I don't even say gently, they have to be in new condition, because I want when children receive them that it's like they just got out of the store. And so they can go to my website, foreverfreebooks.com, or they can shoot me an email at target@foreverfreebooks.org.
Wow. Well, I'm glad I posed that question, because many people thought, probably like me, hey, I got some books that I have not used, but I understand the concept. You want them to shop as if they're just going right into Barnes and Nobles or right there to purchase the book. So that is great. That is great. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come right back and dive into some interesting topics. We'll be right back.
Starting a nonprofit is an exciting experience. It gives you an opportunity to turn your passion for giving and serving others into a reality. However, starting a nonprofit also comes with a lot of challenges. Many organizations fail before they launch by not knowing how to set up their organization correctly. Don't get frustrated trying to navigate through the IRS tax-exempt paperwork to start a nonprofit, register your charitable organization, or even if your status has been revoked. Let our professional staff do the work for you. We are helping nonprofits run like for-profits. Schedule your discovery call today by visiting our website at thenonprofitcoach.org or by calling 240-547-8780.
Welcome back. I am your host, Tracy Brown, and you join me here on the Brownstone, Real People with Real Answers. And like I love to say, there's something for everyone at the Brownstone. We have the opportunity to have at the Brownstone Tanya Barnett, and being a wife just got real. But I see that you were at WHUR. Was that earlier this week, or how did that go? And how did that come? So how did that come about?
To be honest, Tracy, I'm going to keep it 100 because that's what I do. Really, God orchestrates everything for me. I can just be minding my business, and I'll get an email or a text message from somebody to say, hey, somebody told me about you. Can you X, Y, and Z? And that's what happened with WHUR. The producer reached out to me and said, hey, I had a guest that I was going to have on my show. She couldn't make it. She gave me your number. Can you make it? And so that's how that happened. And so we talked about single professional women having children, and is it a big deal in 2017? And so it was a great topic, right? You know, it aligns with what I do with the Real Wife Movement and talking about relationships and importance of relationships. And so that's how that happened. Just, you know, a friend referred me to them because she couldn't go, and that's how I wound up on the radio.
Wow, wow. And I love your intro on Facebook. It simply says, I am a lover of life. I love people. I love God. I love to serve. nothing fancy here. And when I see you, you are such a beautiful person, and your spirit is just illuminates the room. It just fills up the room. And then one of your little things here says, let's chat with Tanya Barnett. So guess what, guys? We are getting ready to chat with her. We're getting ready to get some notes. We're getting ready to get edumacated, as they say. We're gonna get educated about being a wife. You know, it just got real. But one of the things I wanted to know, what motivated you to write the book?
Oh, wow. I started writing my book several years ago. I heard that still small voice that said, you have a story to tell. And so, you know, of course, I panicked and freaked out because I was like, well, Lord, I just want to tell the good stuff. So I'm just tell the good stuff. And God was like, no, you need to tell the bad stuff. And how you and your husband overcame the bad stuff. So I wrote like a chapter, and it sat on my computer for a couple of years, and then I ran into Julian B. Kiganda, who's my mentor, and she and I were talking, and she's like, oh, my gosh, you have a story to tell. And I said, oh, my gosh, I have a chapter. I said, I don't know what the name of the book is yet, and I sent her over this raw copy, and she said, you need to get this done ASAP. And she was like, and I'm going to help you. And that was like May. Went on a girls' trip to Mexico for a week, no husband, no kids. And on the beach in Mexico, I wrote the rest of my book in those 7 days. And then within a year, it was published.
Wow. And I'm telling you, it is some good stuff. So being a wife just got real. So what did your husband think about this before we dived in? He was like, what did he have to say?
Initially, he said no. And he said no because he was afraid of how it was going to make him look. And I had to explain to my husband that this is not about you. It's not about me. It is about serving people. And so once he read the first chapter, again, he freaked out and was like, nah, this is not going to happen. You know, I just prayed, and I really asked God. I was like, God, if you told me to write this book, lay it on my husband's heart, I'm not going to press him out. You know, and I just kept, you know, working with Julian in the interim behind the scenes. You know how we do as wives. You know, when we know we hear God's voice, we don't argue. We just, you know, go along with it and just say, okay, babe, I got you. But I was not going to publish the book without my husband's blessing, but I knew God told me to do it. And so once I continued to learn, and I said, babe, you know, I would like for you to read it again. And he just wanted me to read several pieces. And once I read it, I told him, I said, just pray about it. And so after he prayed for a while, he then came back and said, go for it.
And that's what I love about it. He prayed. You guys took it before God. You knew the answer, but we knew how God works. He got to just kind of like, you know, bring him along, let him see the whole thing. And, you know, because with men, like we said, with men, it's all about being respected. So if anything was in there that he thought wasn't going to respect him, then it was going to be a problem. I'm quite sure it was going to be a problem. So I'm glad that you got, you know, that blessing. But for many of us who struggle in our marriage, we struggle the day after we said, I do. We often wonder, you know, was I supposed to do this? Because, you know, once the honeymoon phase is over, then life really gets in. For some people, the honeymoon phase is short. For others, it may be a year or two. But when the marriage really kicks in, and you probably can tell, I've been married. I'm still married and been down that road. It gets tough sometimes because you're taking two households and you're becoming one. You didn't work it all out. You know, you just seen that good side of him, or she seen that good side of you, and it just got real. So tell us some of the things you talk about what is the biggest problem that you see that we as women are faced with, what we don't do?
The biggest problem, and this is very controversial anytime I speak somewhere or, you know, I'm at a church or whatever, is respect. We do not respect our men. And so that is the underlying message with the book, just about you and your own personal transformation. So that's why I have chapters such as patience, we've got time for that, perspective, priorities, prayer, you know, things of that nature that help us become better wives. But at the end of the day, it really goes back to respect. And we're not taught how to do that, especially as African-American women. We're taught to be strong. We're taught to be aggressive. We're taught to not let a man take advantage of you, or you know, all these things. But when you go into a marriage, you become one. So it's not letting a man take advantage of me. It's compromise. How can we work through this together? You know, and that's pretty much what I talk about in my book. And at the end of every chapter, there are reflection questions that are pertaining to the woman as an individual. And then there's also places where you can write. There's a whole sheet at the end of every chapter where you can journal or write your thoughts, prayer requests, whatever, you know, comes across you as you're reading. And then there's also prayers in the back of every chapter that pertains to that chapter. So the chapter about patience, there's a prayer about being patient with your husband because they're not perfect. And I tell women, you know, and when I said, I'm like, you know, ladies, men are not perfect. I'm like, yeah, yes, sir, say it. And then I'm like, and neither are you. And they get real quiet. But it's the truth, you know. And I think when we marry our husband, we're thinking we're going to get this perfect man who's going to fulfill all our dreams and make us happy. And that's not their job. Really, their job is to cover us, protect us, and for us to meld our dreams and our visions together to become one. And then we both walk out our purpose and plan that God has called us.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And so when you were saying that, I remember that I read this book, and it was called Love and Respect. And it simply, I think it went like, the love she most desires and the respect that he desperately needs. And you said a key thing that we don't respect our men. I see it every day. What we call, you know, we have a big problem with this word called submission. But let me tell you something. Once I learn how to submit, I get everything that I need and want and desire, and it's not a challenge. It's not a challenge because I'm in my place. And so often we want to be out of our place. We're not in place because we've seen how mom and them did it, how our cousins did it, how all of this stuff done. But when you sit back and you think about how their marriage is, we see what we see on the outside, but behind closed doors is something totally different. And so the author talked about simply pink and blue. And simply pink was the love and blue was the respect that he needed. And I believe that, you know, you are on to something. We know you're on to something, but that is key right there. That is key right there. So what are some of the ways that one thing for me, I used to always have the last word. I don't know if you were like that or if you know any women like that, but I always had to have the last word. And what I learned was something called shut mouth grace. Simply means just keep your mouth shut. Everything does not require a response. So once I've learned that, things start to turn around. But what do you say to those women who have not learned that lesson yet?
I'm going to say what I heard my kids say when they're about 8 years old. If you don't learn that lesson, you get what you get, and you can't have a fit. My kids just say that all the time to each other. You get what you get, and you can't have a fit because every action is a reaction. Or every inaction, there's also a reaction to that, too. So it's kind of like, if you have a stagnant pool of water, it eventually becomes infested and it's hazardous and things of that nature. The same thing in your marriage. If you choose to stay the way that you are, your marriage is going to be stagnant and it's going to be unhealthy. But if you're able to flow like a current of water, it flows, it's fresh, it's refreshing, then your marriage is able to do the same thing. And I think a lot of times, because we're modeling behaviors that we saw growing up or we see on television or our girlfriends or just different things, we've had bad relationships with men in the past, we bring all that into our marriages, and we have to remember that our husband is a unique individual. He's a child of God. And then once we get that revelation, then we're able to love them the way that they need to be loved, not the last man, not the way we saw, you know, our mama love or whatever. We need to love him, the individual, the way that he needs to be loved. And I think we lose that. And it goes vice versa, too. I mean, a lot of men love women the way that they treated women in the past, where they saw their, like my husband. My husband saw his father have a slew of girlfriends. So my husband's mind, it was like, okay, my wife doesn't want to be intimate with me, or my wife doesn't have a time of day for me, then let's just get a divorce. I'll get somebody else. And so once he saw that that was unhealthy, then that verbiage stopped for him.
Unhealthy.
Right, right. And I think a lot of the times that when we go into a marriage, it's like a fairy tale to us. We hear what the counselor says when we go to counseling, even if we took counseling, because many of us say, oh, we got this. We've been together for years, and we know what to do. I know him, and he know me. I don't think that that's true. And we have to step back and take a look at ourselves, because truth be told, when many of us got married, we were a hot mess. we were a hot mess. We thought that we was the be all to know all, and when we got in that marriage, it wasn't
for
like
men.
I don't know. Was it like you for that? I felt like, okay, he expected me to cook, to clean, to do this, to do that, to do all of those things that's there. This is what he expected from me. And so for me, I expected certain things from him. But when it didn't happen, the compromise, I didn't know how to compromise. So do you find, as you go about coaching, that many of us don't know how to compromise? Is either our way or the highway?
Yeah. And that definitely was my story. And I talk about that in my book, how my husband and I would fight over how to make spaghetti and, you know, just what dinner meant. For him, dinner was when you ate whatever you found. When I grew up, dinner was a four-course meal, including the starch, a meat, milk afterwards. You know, you didn't drink your milk or your Kool-Aid until you ate all your dinner. That wasn't his reality. My husband grew up sitting in front of a TV by himself eating. And so you're talking about bringing those things together. And so, I tell people all the time, I was a ghetto hot mess wife for close to 13 years. And, you know, it took the light bulb to cut on for me to become a godly wife. Now, let me just say this. During my whole ghetto hot mess wife year, I was serving in church. I was, you know, dancing in the dance ministry. I was, you know, Girl Scout troop leader, cheerleading coach, all these great things, but I was not a great wife. I wasn't even a good wife. In the coaching aspect, and I think that's why I can relate to a lot of the women, is that, again, we're not taught how to love. We're taught what society tells us love is. And love in society's eyes, okay, if you don't fit my needs or my expectations, I can throw you away. It is really incumbent upon women, especially people who are, you know, listening to this right now, it's incumbent upon them to get a grip and say, okay, do I love this man, and am I willing to put in the work to love him the way God says to love him, not the way I think to love him? And so once we're able to do that, then our relationships can grow. But if you're not willing to change, it's just going to be stagnant, and it becomes unhealthy.
And that's the key right there, the way that God intended us to love us. Because even when we're angry at him and we don't see eye to eye, we still got to love him. Sometimes we tend to want to take our love away. We can't tell. It's no such thing as taking your love away. You have to go through that situation. And you're right. We have to put in the work. And sometimes the work is not overnight. It is not for a week. It's not for 30 days. It may be for years. But first, you have to recognize you. You got to recognize who you are in the marriage. And be honestly, so many of us nowadays, I might tell my age a little bit, but our concept of marriage is different from those millennials today. They don't want to get married. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. To me, it's so easy for people to go to the courthouse, pick up those pieces of paper, than it is for you to work through the problem, through the issue, because it's not all one person. When you said your vows, you said to death do us part, for richer or for poor. And sometimes those things, they come up. You go through that slump in your finances. You may lose a spouse. Somebody may be sick for a period of time, but that's what the words that you say. So often we got up and we say those words, and we don't understand the real meaning of them. And to me, the example are our parents, the ones that grew up in the 40s and in the 50s, because they knew that regardless of what went on, that they had to stick it out. It wasn't an option for them. But today we have too many options. Do you find that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it just, I think about one thing my mother told me, my mother was like, you know, you need to have a separate bank account that he don't know about just in case. So you already going into your marriage with a just in case mindset. So, you know, my husband used to say, well, I want a divorce. I'm out. I'll get somebody else. You can get somebody else. I was like, okay, bye. You know, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, this is what my mother prepared me for. When that's out of order, and it's just so wrong. And so I just think it's really important for us to understand that, you know, marriage is, to me, marriage is a death until you, you know, to death do you part. And it takes work. It's just like parenting. You don't divorce your kids. Now, you do have some parents that will disown their children. However, that's a small percentage of people. You don't divorce your kids regardless of what they do. Why you, and I always tell people, you chose to say yes. I don't know too many shotgun weddings today. I mean, back in the day, you got somebody's daughter pregnant, you know, maybe back in the 20s or whatever, you know, the family was like, you get married. But today, you chose to say yes. That's a choice you made. So you live with your choice. And
right.
That's, I don't know no other way to say it.
You live with your choices, and what happens is that so often I believe that we rush into it. Whatever he was doing when you went in the marriage, he was doing it before. That's just my belief, you know, because you come together and you grow together, which means you're going to pick up some habits and you're going to drop some habits. Nobody comes into a union perfect. They come, well, for me, I came with the idea that, okay, this is going to be work, because those are going to be days that we have conflict. But let me say, let me share this with the listening audience. Okay, I'm not no Elizabeth Taylor, but this is my third marriage, and it took me to number three for me to get it. And that's bad for in me, but it took me to that point to get it. I had to realize that Tracy way wasn't the right way. Tracy had a whole lot of mess with her. And so often we go through, and then while we're going through, we're damaging the other people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it wasn't, you know, it wasn't all my fault, some of it, but I'm taking, I'm accepting my responsibility. And that's the first thing. We have to accept our responsibility in our role. Whether we have to accept our responsibility in the good and in the bad, you got to accept it. And a lot of times we don't want that mirror to face us. We don't want to look at what's in the mirror. And to be honest, some of us are jacked up, because if our marriages wasn't jacked up, we wouldn't understand the concept of being a wife just got real.
Right.
We wouldn't understand that, because we know that those are things that we're dealing with. So tell me a little bit about the Real Wife Movement. What is that all about?
Well, the Real Wife Movement is solely for helping single married women create healthy environments to learn how to love and respect black men. I'm unapologetic about that. That's my worldview. I'm married to a black man. My son is black. My father's black. My brothers, uncles, grandparents. And so my goal is to help us unlearn some behaviors and learn behaviors that work with our particular spouse or our intended. And so I think it's really important to do the work ahead of time. I did not do the work ahead of time, and I think that's why, well, I know that's why John and I had so many issues. And it wasn't until after we both hit rock bottom that we started to do counseling.
Individual counseling.
And we would come out and be arguing in the parking lot after having spent an hour on somebody's sofa. So after that, we just kept saying, okay, this marriage counseling ain't working for us. And we had counseling before we got married. We did our little workbook, and we were like, yes, boom, high five, boo. We did the workbook. We were ready to get married. But the workbook only dealt with surface stuff. I'm talking about getting licensed clinical therapy, where you're going in and they're touching on that raw stuff, that stuff that makes you have an ugly cry on the sofa. And what we did was we did that separately. So my husband would have his ugly cries. I would have my ugly cries. And then we would come together,
you got all
and talk
stuff
about
that
what we talk about in our individual sessions.
All that
and so that's pretty much what I'm trying to get women to do through the whole coaching process.
Work.
Is, you know, there's some things that I can help with, and I am not one of those people who thinks that I'm super coach. I'm not. So there's some things I know that I cannot help someone with. There's some deep things. So I refer people to licensed clinical therapy because I think it's important to get your psyche right. And then once you get your psyche right, then you get your heart right. Because a lot of our issues are from my past, from my childhood, whether it's from, you know, elementary school or from something that happened traumatic in our past or college experiences or whatever. A lot of times you need a psychologist or a therapist to help you unlock those things so that you can now grow. It's kind of like pruning. You got to prune that dead stuff away. And what happens is, like the bag lady, we're bringing all that garbage into our relationship, and then we're telling the dude, taking this how I am, that's how I always been. No. You when you come as one, he's not supposed to be having your baggage. That ain't his cross to bear. You need to unlock that stuff, unpack that stuff, get some therapy, work on that. And so I work on practical things that women just to get them thinking about, okay, is this healthy where I'm going in my relationship? And if it's not, what are the steps to help me get rid of that? And so that's what
I'm just saying about the grass.
So let me ask you this. So a key thing is that we bring baggage into our relationships. We never end what's going on. I think it's good that you say, yeah, you know what, we needed that separate counseling because there's some things that we need to deal with because sometimes it can just be our spouse performing a certain act that causes us to trigger something that was bad to us in our past relationship, and we just go totally off, and they're looking at us like what, and it causes a big argument. And sometimes it's just that we need to be quiet and let the man be the man. You know,
I
understand.
I'll give you a great example of that. My my husband, we had some friends over. This was years ago, and I was eating, and my husband, I had like several chicken wings on my plate. Okay, I'm just talking about what you just talked about. My husband was done eating. He came over to my plate, grabbed one of my chicken wings, and started eating it. I burst out in tears. And everyone is like, what is wrong with her? And I could not verbalize at the moment why I burst out in tears. And it wasn't until a couple of days later, one of our friends who is a therapist was just over here, we were just talking. And my husband was like, yo, you know, I took one of my wife's chicken wings, and she started crying, and everyone was like, yo, what's wrong with Tanya, this and the third. And he and I started talking and digging a little deep, and it came from when I was a little girl, because I was the last one at the table all the time, my dad would come and take some of my food off my plate and eat my food, and it would make me sad, because it's like, I wanted that leg or that wing or whatever. Not even knowing that something from when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, my husband taking a chicken wing 20, 30 years later triggered that. That's deep.
And a lot of times that's what it is. It's a lot of times that we don't resolve the unresolved issues, and we need to resolve that because not only does it affect our marriage, but if you bring in other kids in the marriage or, you know, however it is, because some of us get married at the same time. Some of us, even without, you know, if it's the, you know, your natural, your first marriage and you have kids and something just triggers, something just happened that we never dealt with in the past. And I believe that in order to be whole, you got to deal with everything. And like you said, get one of them ugly, stinky cries out and just deal with it. You just got to deal with it. So what is some of the advice that you would give that where we should get started if we're having trouble in our relationship?
I would say, first of all, get my book. and work through it. I mean, and that's why I wrote my book the way I wrote it, so that it fits in your purse. And so it's small enough to fit in the purse, but big enough for you to write in it. So if you want a dog ear, pull some pages, you know, mark all over. That's why I wrote it the way that I wrote it. But also, reach out to me. I'm here for that. There's nothing anybody could tell me where I would be shocked or appalled or like, I can't believe she came to me with that, because what I provide is a no-judgment zone. We all have had different experiences that we're not too proud of. I mean, I was pregnant at 19, and so, you know, all of that whole particular, and baby daddy was a drug dealer and da-da-da-da. So there's nothing anyone can bring to me or tell me that I'm just like, oh, my God, I just cannot work with you. Because, you know, we're all fallen creatures and we're saved by grace. So who am I to judge anybody? But I would definitely say reach out to me. My website is realwifewoman.com. Tanya at realwifewoman.com. But if there's some things that I just feel like, okay, you know, this is beyond my scope, I do refer them to that counseling. The other thing I would admonish people not to do is don't go to your girlfriend, your mom, your sister, whoever, who have terrible relationships or who speak terrible about men. That's not the person to go to because they're not going to help you. They may act like they want you to succeed, but a lot of people who are in bad relationships or have had bad relationships, this will give you bad information because it's kind of like me going to someone who, in no shade to anybody who's a blue-collar worker, but I'm asking them, how can I be a millionaire? If they've never been a millionaire, they can't tell me how to become a millionaire. So I would definitely say reach out to people, surround yourself with women who have positive marriages, older women. We need to go back to that Titus woman where the younger women were going to the older women for advice. I don't see that anymore. I'm fairly young, but I see myself as a Titus woman where women can come to me and talk to me. I get text messages, Facebook messages, emails all the time from women just saying, hey, Tanya, can I talk? Can you pray with me? And so definitely reaching out to women who are going to feed you positivity, not that negative stuff.
Right, and you say the key thing that's going to feed you positivity and not negative stuff, but also someone that's going to hold you accountable. See, somebody that's going to keep it real with you, like, you know what, girl, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. And so often nowadays, we don't want people to hold us accountable because we want to be right all the time. We want to be right. We don't want to hear that. You don't know what you're talking about. But another key thing that you said is not to – see, for me, if you haven't been married, then you don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a different thing when it's there. And so often we seek advice from the wrong people. We seek advice from the wrong people. And the first person we should seek is God. That's the first person because he's the only one that's going to change that or that has the power to change that situation. We can get advice.
Mm-hmm.
We can go through therapy. We can get exercises, but God has that power. And it's not until, like you say, that light bulb clicked. One day the light bulb just clicked on, and it was like, wait a minute. Whoa. Let me look at me. Let me get myself together. Let me try to change my tone. Let me talk to him a little different. Let me show him the respect because he is the man of the house, and this is his castle
mm-hmm.
and his kingdom, meaning that when he come home, he shouldn't be hearing a whole bunch of riffraff.
Mm-hmm.
He get that out in the world.
Yeah,
so he needs
yeah.
to come home to a place that's comfortable, that
right.
say, oh, baby, you know what? How was your day? I love to say, how was your day? How you know, you have to, like I said, it's about respect with the men. And that's the biggest key that I hear from my girlfriends that I'm around. It's about the respect. And then seek advice. You know, hey, real wife, she has a coaching plan going on, and she knows what she's talking about. I can hear that. I know some people that have attended her sessions throughout because you did you tell us a little bit about your, I don't want to call them pop-up shops, but your pop-up therapy shops where you help us out. And do you have any coming up? I think you have something on, what, July 15th or maybe before then?
Yes. So we have the Art of Being a Wife tour. The kickoff for that is here in the D.C. area, July 15th. The website is bit.ly/DC Wife. So D, capital D, capital C. So it is case sensitive. D.C. Wife. And we have some fabulous sponsors from Black and Married with Kids. We have Sassy Jones Boutique, who every woman who attends will get a free pair of earrings. So our swag bags have over $400 worth of products in them, and the admission fee is only $40. So you pay $40 and you get over $500 worth of products from quality companies. We have Be Law Delicious. I mean, when I say we have some fantastic sponsors, we have some fantastic, and the content's going to be like that. We are going to be talking about the art of being a wife, self-care, and other things that we just let go. From a lot of times when we get married and we get into the thick of things of raising children and paying bills and running here and there and everywhere and things of that nature. So it's called the Art of Being a Wife Tour. We're kicking off in D.C., like I said, July 15th. And then from there, we'll be going to Charlotte. And it's a multi-city tour. Me and Dominique Clark, she's a certified matchmaker and a relationship strategist. So she helps get you together. I help keep you together. So
all right, that's
that. Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, and she does a fantastic job, and she is she's a woman of God. So you know, she's not putting you out there with any busters. She really makes sure that she seeks God also with the matchmaking, and it's okay as a Christian woman to get the help of a matchmaker. It's okay. And that's the other thing. I think we have to change the way we think about some things in the 21st century. However, like they always said, people are looking for their Boaz. Boaz goes to find you. So with Dominique, even though you set up your profile and all the other stuff and she gets some information about you, she can find a man that will find you through her services. And so we're just very avant-garde. We're doing things to serve God because we believe in the power of relationships. And relationships are so important because if you have a good relationship, you have a good family. If you have a good family, you have a good community.
And you're right, in a good community. And that's one thing I can say about you. You are out and about in our community, which I love because I'm a community person. But you said a key thing there, that the Boaz is supposed to find you. And you're supposed to make sure why the Boaz is looking for you, that you're getting yourself together, that you're doing the things, meaning that I'm big on finances because that's my background, that you got your finances straight. It ain't always about, boo, what's your credit score? What's yours? You know, those things that take place, that you have to be prepared, because are you ready? If your Boaz was to drop on the step today, knock on your door and say, knock, 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 I'm here, but are you ready? You can't have no nasty house. Your finances shouldn't be jacked up. Your car should be clean, because I believe that the way that your car looks tells a lot about yourself. You could meet the man in the parking lot. He looked in your back seat. You got a whole bunch of clothes back there. He might just change his mind. But I'm excited about the tour, because whether you're married or whether you're single, you're able to come out to the art of being a wife. Because like you said, one is preparing and one is keeping you there. So I just encourage anybody in the Washington, DMV area just to make sure that you go to the website, purchase your ticket, because like she said, hey, it's $40, but you're getting $500 worth of stuff in the swag bag. But not only that, you're getting good and excellent advice. So guess what? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to wrap this thing up.
Listening to the Brownstone Radio Network. Real people with real answers.
Welcome back to the show. And we are having an excellent time today here at the Brownstone with Tanya Barnett. Being a wife just got real, and she's also a real wife coach, which is what we need nowadays, a real wife coach. But before we went to commercial break, one of the things you said is that I think you said her name was Dominique, actually helps you to set up a profile. And I was laughing because I thought about it. My daughter's 24.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, Mom, where do you go to find a guy? And I was like, well, they're supposed to be finding you. And she said, well, you know, me and my girlfriend, we was on Plenty of Fish. And that's my whole thing, those dating sites.
Mm-hmm.
You guys need to get with a reputable person like Dominique and Ms. Tanya here so you guys can get to where you need to be, so that the Boaz is not actually, you're looking for, the Boaz is looking for you and not you looking for the Boaz. Because I don't know, like, what today actually what's out there. I'm so glad that I'm not
on the dating scene, and I'm actually working at the art of being a good wife, because that's the key thing. You know, for me, I'm like, let me be the good wife, because I don't want to be out there on that scene today. And so we're talking to Tanya today, and she's just giving us a few tips before we wrap up here, maybe two or three, on things that we should do. Because one of the things you said, you didn't come right out and say it, but we get complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Life happens. Kids come along, we got jobs, we got Cub Scouts, we got soccer practice, football practice with the kids, that we get complacent. And maybe when we get complacent, we gain just a few pounds. And we forget to take care of ourselves. We forget about wearing the nice negligees to bed at night just to entice them a little bit. We forget about making that special time for your man, because I'm a strong component and believer that you have whatever you did to get him, to warm in, to get him down the aisle when we were not really knowing what we was going to say when we said I do, that you must continue to do that. And do you find that a lot of women, because life happens, that's not one thing that they do? Is that one of the issues there? Because men are visual. Let's keep it honest and keep it real.
Yeah, I mean, and I share that in my book. I share my story of how I gained a lot of weight. And I went from being real cute to wearing mom jeans and T-shirts and running shoes or T-shirts and flip-flops. And so I did let myself go, so much so that I became diabetic. And so I wound up having to lose 53 pounds so that I'm no longer diabetic. I'm diabetes-free. But, yeah, definitely with life happening for me, I did put on a bunch of weight, and my husband did not find me attractive. And I know women probably say, well, that's shallow. But like you said, men are visual. So, you know, here I am home with my children all day, running them around and everything, and my husband's at work with, you know, all these beautiful women coming to work, full face of makeup, temple skirts, and, you know, just looking hot. You know, and no shade to them at all. I mean, they're confident in their femininity. And my husband comes home to Hazel. So I really think it's important for us as women. And I actually I had a moment where I was in a store, and I shared in my book where this lady saw me, and we were talking. And she was like, is this what your husband comes home to every day? And I was like, yeah, why? And I gave her a long list of why. I look this way. And she was like, baby, no. She said, when you go home, she said, take that mess off, put on some lip gloss, do your hair, and be cute for your man. And so I went home and did that, and my husband's like, hey, you going somewhere?
Yeah, look, out of the ordinary. They'd be like, well, wait a minute, what's up with you? What's up with you?
Right. He was like, you going somewhere? And I was like, yep, upstairs. I said, you and I got a meeting upstairs. And his eyes were like, really? I mean, he was shocked. And after that moment, I said, my husband will never come home to me looking any old kind of way. And to this day, I always make sure my husband comes home, I'm looking some kind of cute, because I know he's, and it's no fault of his home, it's no fault of his own. He's at work all day with beautiful women. I mean, he doesn't create his work environment. And so then it got to the point where he was telling me so-and-so came by my desk again, and she was smelling good, and she was leaning on my desk and was showing cleavage, and, you know, and prior to me having conversations with my husband and allowing him to be vulnerable and share these things, it would stir up something in him. And so because he struggled with that, was coming home to me looking crazy and these women at work, you know, my husband started drinking, trying to deal with, cope with the temptations, and, okay, this lady is telling me I can have her. I love my wife, but this lady is telling me I can have her. My wife will never know. And so men are dealing with this. Whether women want to believe it or not, you can put your head in the sand if you want to, but the reality is our men are being tempted every day at work, every day, in the grocery store, at the gym, wherever they go, men are being tempted because there's an attack on the family. And so if we could do our part, and I'm sure there's some women who are saying, well, he got to take me the way I am. No, he does not have to take you the way you are. If you chose to be married to him and you know, like you said, Tracy, you know what you did to get him, there's nothing wrong with keeping it spicy, keeping it sexy, being cute. You can be a Christian woman and be cute and sexy. It is okay. The Bible even says that when you read Song of Solomon, she was sexy. She was hot. She had him salivating and drinking water from her fountains and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she was keeping it real. That's what it is. And the key thing that we don't, we failed it, like you say, they at work. They smelling good. The woman coming by, he's telling you. He's giving you the answers. He's telling you what's going on with him. He's letting you know. He's giving you some clues. So we need to catch him. We need to catch him to get our sexy back, to make sure that we're looking good when they come home, that our hair's done, and yes, that the meal is done, because see, that generation nowadays, they don't cook. So, you know, you got to continue to cook or continue, whatever you got to do, take him out sometime, do something, but make him know that he's the king of the castle. And we, like you said, they get complacent. We get complacent.
I did. I mean, even just now, Tracy, I'm going to be totally transparent, and that's my whole platform, transparency and being authentic. As you were talking, I said my husband asked me 2 weeks ago to go see a Tupac movie. I am not a movie person. I will catch it on Netflix, or, you know, I'll catch it when it's showing on HBO or whatever, where, you know, I can watch it here at home. And I told him no. And I heard the disappointment in his voice, but I didn't say anything. And at that moment, I should have said, you know what, babe, I'll go. So even during this interview right now, I heard the Holy Spirit say, you need to go to that movie with your husband. So I just sent him a text and said, babe, Friday night, let's go see the Tupac movie and let's go to dinner. Do I want to go see the Tupac movie? No, I don't want to go see the Tupac movie. But I know for my husband, that is him reaching out to me and saying, babe, I want to spend time with you. And I think that's really key for women to understand. It may not be something you want to do, but if it's something that's important to him, it's not going to hurt you, and it's causing y'all time to be together, he will honor that you sacrifice on his behalf. So that's my little nugget.
Not only will he honor that, and I laugh because my husband is a movie fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
I go to the movies. And he know what I'm going to do. And I'm going to be honest, y'all. I go, and half the time I go to sleep, because he wants I just keep it real. But it wasn't the fact that I went to sleep. Those are the things that he remember. My husband said, I remember when we first got together and we used to curl up on the sofa and watch TV. The small things makes a difference. The small things sometimes save the arguments. The small things are what keep them there, because those intimate details that you know about your man that the other person doesn't know, that's what keeps them. That's that thread that holds you together when it's tough times. It's those little things that we do.
Right.
It's those little gestures, those, like you said, you know, I don't really want to see the movie, but I'm going to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The little things that make him happy, because believe it or not, you make him happy, he going to make you happy. He's going to go above and beyond to make you happy. And you don't have to worry about Mary Sue at the job, in the grocery store, or even at the local restaurant. You ain't got to worry about that. See, the reason that men leave half of the time, or that they cheat, is because they're not getting what they need at home, because we've got
the place. It's not sex. And that's the thing. It's not the sex. They don't leave for sex. They don't leave for sex. They leave because they don't feel valued. They don't feel respected. They don't feel like they could be vulnerable with you. There were times my husband would tell me, babe, I'm struggling. I'm like, well, you need to go to the Lord with that. I'm sorry that you're weak. I mean, I used to tear him down, and he's telling me he's struggling. And the mere fact that he felt comfortable enough to say, babe, I'm struggling with this, that, and the third, and I would tear him down, that tells you about my character at that time in my life.
Right. And then they tell us, and then so they find somebody else to tell.
Right.
They find somebody else going to listen. And then where we are, we mad. If we catch him, we mad. But the truth of the fact, we need to be mad partially at ourselves, mad at him, but mad partially at ourselves, because if we would have did what we did, what we know what we needed to do, because he was telling us, then we wouldn't find ourselves in this particular incident or predicament right now. You know, so it's so often that even just talking to you, like you said, it just opens up so many things that gives you the chance to know and let you know that marriage is work. Don't go into it thinking that it's not any work. It's work. Don't go into it thinking that you're perfect or your spouse perfect. It's work. Don't go into it if you think that it's three of y'all, God and the two of y'all, in that marriage. And don't go in it thinking that, hey, I'm going, you know, don't go in it with an exit plan. Right. Don't go in marriage with an exit plan. Yeah. And so many of us, let's be honest, we do that. That's why you got the separate bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't really know what's going on with the finances, because we're going into it with the wrong mindset. So today we are talking to Tanya Barnett, Being a Wife Just Got Real. And then also, let's talk about the Real Wife Shop. What's in that shop?
Well, in the Real Wife Shop, we have shirts where you can represent your man. It says, I pray, I uplift my husband. And then I also have the Kiss and Play box. Majority of the stuff on my website right now in the Real Wife Shop is free. I mean, not free, I'm sorry, 50% off. So you will definitely find that. And for your listeners, I'm offering free shipping. All they have to do is type in ship free as a coupon code, and they'll get free shipping. And really, the Kiss and Play box is just a box where it has massage oil, soaps, bath bombs, a note card that you can read from a note, 5 tips to increase intimacy. So it's a box where if you're like, okay, well, I don't know where to start because me and my husband are kind of off, you purchase that box and everything you need to just jumpstart your relationship is right inside that box.
Wow, like some jumper cables, right? This going to jumpstart your relationship. So that's key. So we have had an exciting time today here with our guest, the beautiful Tanya Barnett. Make sure you go to Amazon and get her book title, Being a Wife Just Got Real. Make sure that you catch her on the tour coming to a city near you. And once again, I am your host, Tracy Brown, and thank you for joining me on the Tracy Brown Show.
You're listening to the Brownstone Radio Network. Real people with real answers.
What'd you say?
Taking a full